Well, good morning again. Good to have you, and good to see you, and good to be here personally. It's fun to lift our voices, isn't it? To praise our Lord and to celebrate His amazing goodness. I'm thinking to myself as I'm singing, I probably need to get something to drink, but we'll work through it. So, I don't usually like sing quietly, but that's good. You guys don't either, which is really fun. Hey, we're in a series, and Songs for the Journey, and we're looking at the Psalms. And this morning, I would like us to look at Psalm 119. Now, if you are at all familiar with Psalm 119, there's a number of interesting things about Psalm 119. So let me kind of walk them through it. And if you have the outline, that should be in your bulletin, along with our small group discussion guides. And some of these things, the things that I'm going to talk about right now, are actually on the top of that page, and so you can kind of follow along with me. But they're right there. Excuse me. First of all, a couple things with Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. I think it's 176 or 172 verses long. In fact, Psalm 119 is longer than some of the books in the Bible. So it'll take you longer to read Psalm 119 than it might take to read Jude. And or some other books, because it's long. Another thing that's really interesting is that Psalm 119 follows the Hebrew alphabet. So for each letter of the alphabet, there's a section, an 8-verse section of verses. For each letter. Now here's what's also interesting. Not only do you have a set of verses, 8 verses, for each letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, but the first word of each verse starts with that letter. So we start with A, and so the first verse of all first 8 verses start with A, and then you get to B, and then, now I'm giving you the English alphabet, not the Hebrew alphabet, then you get to B, and all the first verse of every verse in those 8 verses in that stanza start with the letter B. Now think about this for a second. It's really kind of cool. And I'll touch on something in a second. Third thing I want you to notice is that this verse celebrates God's word. And it uses a bunch of different terms to describe God's word. And his statutes, his promises, his word. And it kind of uses a multitude of different terms, which is really, really cool. But it focuses on the goodness and the greatness of God's word. Now, here's one of the things that I want to touch on. In all of Scripture, this may be the most intensely and intentionally crafted passage or portion of Scripture. In all of the rest of Scripture, you may not find a chapter or a portion of Scripture that is more intentionally crafted. Because it's following a form, it's following a structure, and he's being very intentional all the way through the entire chapter of Psalm 119 to follow a framework and a structure. Now, think about our alphabet. You're coming towards the end of the alphabet, and you know you're going to have 8 verses, and all the first words of every verse need to start with a Y. Or a Z, or an X, or a Q. And all of a sudden, there's creativity, and I got to think about this, and then how do you structure it, and how you lay it all out, and a lot of thought, a lot of intentionality in the crafting, in the shaping of this particular psalm. And then one of the I use a number of resources. One of them is a Faith Life Study Bible. They have this comment there that I quoted and I put in here. It says, it focuses, talking about Psalm 119, it focuses on the two ways motif. So again, even in the internal structure, there's an internal structure. The concept of following Yahweh's ways or the way of wickedness. And the transformative role of submission to Yahweh's instruction and the desperate need for Yahweh's help. There's a contrast that's taking place here between listening to the Lord and following his word versus following the ways of folly and foolishness. And he's comparing and contrasting, but doing so very, very intentionally. So let's jump into it. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into the first point. Let's pray together. Father, I want to say thank you to your goodness this morning. And Father, as we spend time in your word, Lord, I would ask that you would guide our time. Build into us and shape us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my intention this morning is not to read all of Psalm 119, but I'd like to read at least the first 16 verses. I'd like to take a little window and look at the first two stanzas together. And so let me read that, and then we'll touch that first point. He says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given me. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. And I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word." Now for me, as I think through these verses and as I ask the question, well, how do I start to wrap my hand around and start to understand some of the things that are taking place in these verses? There are two things that I would encourage you to specifically do, and then there are two other things I want to look at this morning that I think are things we would take away specifically from these verses. But here's the first. Sometimes I find it's helpful to understand and think through the psalm is to explore the opposite of what the verse is saying. If I want to think through and explore this psalm, I would encourage you to consider the opposite of what the psalm is saying. Sometimes, you know how you read something and you look at it and you process it through one set of lenses? What I'm encouraging you to do is to put on a different lens and consider the opposite, and it gives you a different picture of what is being stated. Let me kind of walk through the first stanza and give you an example of this. And start at verse 1. "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." Now, if we were to flip this and think of some of the opposite, maybe what would some of the opposite be? Grumpy. Angry. Are people of bad character because they disregard the word of God. Or miserable, sorrowful, are people who don't listen to God. You just start to think of the opposite. So instead of saying joyful are people of integrity, joyful are people who listen to God and know what yes means and know what no means and know what it means to be honest and who can be trustworthy. On the flip side, how unhappy and how miserable are people who are unethical? Because they've chosen to disregard God. They said, "I'm going to take my own path, and I don't care where it leads." But we can be joyful when we walk in integrity. Or how about the second verse? "Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts." Maybe pity the miserable ones who are running far from God. Or people who reject God and run from God just live in grief.
But he says, joyful are those who obey his law and search for him. There is a longing in us, a searching that does exist in us. And we have the option to search and know the truth and to know God. Or we have the option to search and to choose something else instead. But he's identifying that when we choose to search for the Lord, there is joy when we pursue him in his word. They do not compromise with evil. They walk only in his paths. If you were to think about the opposite of this, you don't know where they stand, because they'll take the most convenient path. You can't trust them because they don't have a foundation of character from which they draw to live their lives. They don't have a standard. They waffle and they blow the wind. But someone who focuses on the word, they don't compromise. They stick to the truth. They stick to the word. Why? Because they have a clear path in front of them that they are following. It's amazing when you know your path. Like I said earlier, Daniel and I drove home from up in the Adirondacks yesterday. Now, the GPS says it was supposed to take one amount of time, and it actually took longer, about an hour and a half longer. And normally it's accurate, but it's pretty simple. Northway, New York Thruway, jump on 87 briefly, slide over to the Garden State Parkway, you're home. Kind of a clear path, pretty much straight all the way down with a little bit of zigzags in there. But if I didn't know my way, I could have landed in Rochester, Reading, Pennsylvania, decided to take a detour over the Tappan Zee and go visit New York City. But I knew my route. I knew my path. See, this is talking about the people who follow God's word, and they know the path. They know the route they're going to take because it's already marked out for them. It's mapped out for them. It's clear. They don't have to guess because they go to the word and it's clear. Compromisers dance with evil, and they don't know the path they're going to take. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. I live by situational ethics, and I do whatever is convenient at the time. It's just the opposite. Don't you love it? Now, some of this has changed, but when you has anyone ever done business with somebody who doesn't have fixed numbers? And it changed, and the numbers to maybe get your car fixed or to have other things done, it changes by their day. If they're feeling good, they give you a better price. If it's not as good, they charge you more. If it's cloudy, they charge you more. If it's sunny, maybe they give you a little discount. But it's not consistent. This looks like no consistency. But here, there's consistency. You've charged us to keep your commandments carefully. There's consistency in life. Again, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. I don't care how I live. Again, I don't care how I live. That's the opposite. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. I don't care what you think of me. And I don't care if I'm embarrassed. Because I'm going to do what I want anyway. And we just continue to process through the opposites. Verse 7, as I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. God, I'm ticked off at you and I don't want to do it your way. I'm going to do whatever I darn well please. Again, you start to chew through the opposites and think through the opposites, and it starts to give you a different perspective on what the Word is saying. Or, I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. God, I'm a lost cause. Forget about me, because I'm forgetting about you and your Word. Just what we want, right? God, forget about me. Scratch me off your list. Don't remember me. Don't think about me. But he says, I'm going to obey your decrees, Lord. I'm going to seek to follow you and listen. Don't forget me. So one thing I would encourage you to do, take some time, look at the opposites, and think about what the opposite of what is taking place. And it gives you kind of a perspective on what is taking place in that verse. Because we don't just, when you look at it from the opposite side, it just gives you insight to what is taking place and what we really have when we rest in God and we live and rest on His Word. The other thing I'd encourage you to do is to look for patterns and flow of each stanza. Each stanza has a different pattern and flow. And I have that written out there right for you on the sheet. So if you look at the first stanza, verses 1 to 8, you see that verses 1 to 3, verses 4 to 6, and then verses 7 and 8 kind of go together. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. They don't compromise with evil, and they walk only in His paths. There's a path that we can walk where there's joy and there's hope. Verses 4 and 6, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently, see, we're talking about how we behave, so that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I would not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. And again, there's that flow going back and forth. You've charged me to keep your commands. I want my actions to reflect your decrees or your commands. And as I do that, and as I walk that way, I'm not going to be ashamed when I compare my life to your commands. Verses 4 to 6, they just flow together. They're a little snapshot of that bigger picture of the stanza. And then verses 7 and 8. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. Have you guys ever wrestled with following the things that God wants you to do? If you put your hand up and say, I've never done that, no, I won't have you do that. All of us have wrestled with that. Paul, when he was talking to the church in Corinth, he said, what a wretched man that I am. Those things I don't want to do, I do. And those things I do want to do, I don't always get done. I don't always do it right. Sometimes we just flat out blow it. We struggle at times to walk and to live in a way that God wants us to walk and live. It's not always easy. Man, do you want God to just, oh, he messed up again. She's just screwing up all day today. I'm done with her. Forget him. Off the list. I'm not. They can make a phone call. They can write a letter. Angels, just send it back. I'm done with them. Isn't it great to know that God isn't done with us? He's not going to give up on us. But he continues to encourage us. He continues to help us in our journey. These verses go together. As I look at the second stanza, verses 9 to 16, For me, it really stands out that verses kind of 9, 10, and 11 kind of stand on their own. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. Verse 11, in my heart I store up your words so I might not sin against you. This is one of those famous passages of scripture that people quote from Psalm 119. Some of us have memorized it a little bit more in the King James. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We might remember it that way. Another famous verse from Psalm 119 is Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Sometimes there's a verse that just verses that just kind of stand alone in the stanza, and that's okay. They're compact and they're consistent right there. They say it. But then I look at verses 12 to 16, and they just kind of flow together as a body, just talking about the greatness of God's word. I praise you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given me. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. It's just a flowing thought. So as you wrestle through the psalm, I encourage you to look and ask, how does this flow together? And as you look at that, you're going to find that it's going to be helpful. But there's also two things that stand out as I walk through these verses that say to me, there are things to grab a hold of that bring joy and hope to my life. So there's not just a technical component of how do we understand by considering and reading the opposite and thinking about what the opposite is trying to say or looking at how it flows together. But as I read through these verses, there is a huge benefit to listening to and following God's word. Do you get that? Do you understand that there's a huge benefit in your life to listening to and following God's word? When you do that, there's a blessing that will take place in your life. Just let me hit a couple of these things. Verses 1 and 2 says, I have reasons to be joyful. Yes, we want to live miserably, correct? We all would like to be Eeyore, to wake up every day and go, okay, I guess I'll get up today. It's a lovely, ugly day, but I guess I'll have to wash and get dressed, and I guess I have to go to work. Does anyone love Eeyore? Being Eeyore? You know, we don't have to, now, we're not like, oh yeah, we don't have to be like wired either. Okay, but be able to open your eyes in the morning, and it might be a great day. I woke up Friday morning. Now, you didn't have the same wake up that I did because I was up in the Adirondacks. I woke up Friday morning, looked out the window, 7 inches of snow on my car. Now, but you can still wake up and say, man, God, this is a good day. I'm going to have to drive through snow. I'm going to have to clean off the truck. I get that, but God, it's beautiful. And you look around at a beautiful, new, fresh, snowy day, and it's just clean and pure, and it's just beautiful. There's just wonderful things about a beautiful sunny day, or sunny, snowy day. But there are reasons to be joyful in the flow of life. And it doesn't mean we open our eyes and we jump out of bed and dance around the room and our spouse looks at us like we're nuts. Or we go downstairs and our roommates think we're crazy because we're singing as we make breakfast. I'm not suggesting that. But we have reasons to be joyful. Joyful are people of integrity, because as we listen to God's word, what does he do? He starts to work on the internal parts of our life. And those parts of our lives that over the years had been broken, that have been shaped by sin, as we start to listen to and follow God's word, we start to do business on the inside parts of our lives, and we start to learn to live by God's values. We start to learn to live by God's standards, and God starts to create integrity and character in our lives that starts to give shape and substance to how we live. And so joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. And we go back into the word and we start to delve into him. We start to discover who God is. And can I tell you something? It's a wonderful thing when you wrestle through a portion of your journey and you have times when you're saying to God, God, I don't understand sometimes all the things that you're doing, God. Sometimes these things that we're walking through, they don't always make a whole lot of sense. But we've been spending time in his word. We've been reading God's word. And we see from God as we listen to him. He says, keep on walking. Keep on trusting. Keep on following. And sometimes we're walking that journey, we're saying, God, I still don't understand, it doesn't all make sense. And then we come to a part in that journey where we kind of look back and we start to see all the pieces and things that God is putting together. We kind of walk through a door and all of a sudden we start to understand the things that God was doing in our life and it starts to make sense. And we go, oh, this stinks. No, we go, whoa, yes, I get it, I understand. There's joy that starts to come in our lives because we have been following, we've been listening, we've been obeying. We haven't been fully understanding, but we've been walking the path he wants us to walk. And then we land in that spot, and all of a sudden, it all starts to make sense because all the different pieces that God was putting together kind of fall in place, and we start to see it, and it makes sense. We get to live with joy. And what's crazy about joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Joy is resting in the fact that God is on his throne and God is in control, and we can rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing. And so we follow his path, not always understanding what he is doing, but trusting that he knows what he's doing. And there's peace and there's joy in that journey. I can live my life without compromising with sin. Can I tell you that's a huge benefit to listening to and following God's word? I can live my life without compromising with sin. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. There are two losers when people compromise with sin. Righteousness is not augmented and benefit when it compromises with sin. Righteousness, purity, rather is compromised. Catch that transition? When we compromise, things are compromised. They are placed in jeopardy. The substance and the integrity of what we're wrestling and resting in starts to become undermined. And when we compromise with sin, righteousness loses out, and we lose out because we start to take ourselves out of the place where blessing rests. See, we find joy and obeying, but we find judgment and consequences and compromise. But we can live a life without compromising with sin. Verse 6, I can live without feeling shame or humiliation or embarrassment over my life choices. It's huge. It's huge. I can live without feeling shame, humiliation, or embarrassment over my life choices. I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to wonder what is going to be said. I don't have to worry about what God is going to say to me one day when I stand before him to give an account. I won't need to worry about finding a place to hide. I won't have to hang my head. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. We get to sit down, we get to read God's word. And as we start to look at the principles and the values that God's word communicates and the things that it's challenging us to do in our lives, y'all ever get that poke of God?
Yeah, yes. You get that poke of God
where he said, you got to do something different. Poke. This needs to change. Poke. Sometimes he grabs us and says, I want your attention. It's wonderful. When you get to sit down and read God's word, and instead of getting poked, God gives you a high five. And you sit down and you're reading his word, and God is saying, Andrew, or you, you're doing good. You got it. You got this. You're doing this well. Good job. To be commended and encouraged by the word. Because when I sit and read the word, I don't know about you, but I don't know how to not compare my life to the words as I'm reading. And to be commended instead of ashamed or embarrassed because of the choices I've made. I can live in victory instead of defeat. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. To live in victory. And not be defeated. That's what happens as we choose to listen to and follow God's word. Verse 11. God's word provides internal guardrails to keep my life on track. Internal guardrails. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All of us have external guardrails, or we've been shaped in some ways by external guardrails. So we have grown up in our home. We're given a bedtime. Why in the world would our parents give us a bedtime? Well, they had gave us a bedtime because they knew that we needed a certain amount of sleep. And if left to our own to run amok, we would stay up way too late, wake up way too late, miss the bus, be grumpy, not get stuff done. And so mom and dad would impose these external guardrails. We go to work. In work, our employers impose external guardrails. They actually say to us, they expect us to show up at a certain point in time. I mean, come on, that's nervy. You're trying to exercise control over my life by telling me when to show up. I mean, who are you? Oh, that's right, you're my boss. And they exercise these external guardrails that kind of direct our lives. We do it all over our society. Speed limits, walking, walk, don't walk. But this is talking about internal guardrails. How do you live when there's no one around you telling you what you should or shouldn't do? When it's just you and God and your conscience. And you have freedom to just do whatever because right now no one's looking over your shoulder. That's where those internal guardrails come into place. See, God's word gives us those internal guardrails to keep us from messing up. I told you guys about this trip that Daniel and I took this summer. I remember my dad telling a story about when he and mom and his folks drove cross country, and they were somewhere out in the Rockies, and there were guardrails on springs. So they wanted it to look good, but they didn't want to have to keep on coming back and fixing it. So you have this psychological sense of safety and security, but it doesn't exist at all. Do you all want to drive down the Rockies with guardrails on springs? Or do you want to ride around the Rockies with guardrails that are actually cemented into the ground? I prefer stuff that was cemented into the ground. Now, this one point in time, Daniel and I are driving. This is out near Glacier National Park, and we're driving, and it's just, and no guardrails. You have the edge of the road, and about this far off the edge of the road, nothing. Can I tell you, that was a point in time where I really would have been comfortable with guardrails. See, guardrails are good because what they do is they protect us from things that are dangerous. They protect us from things that could hurt us. And they help us to stay on the right path. Now, I was fine driving without those guardrails. But I didn't have a blown tire. I didn't have someone driving like an idiot coming the other way. I didn't have an unexpected event of life that caused me to flinch or jerk the wheel. But sometimes that happens in life. And that's when those internal guardrails that God's word builds into us are wonderful. Because when we flinch or jerk and react, those guardrails kick in, and it keeps us on the right path. And God's word provides those internal guardrails to protect our journey. The Bible teaches us how to find God. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. God, I've taken the time to get to know you and to discover you. God, don't let me wander away. Don't let me wander off. See, what he's identifying is that God is findable, and he is findable as we start to spend time in the Word, in his Word. We start to discover who he is. We start to discover the substance of his character, the substance of his being, the things that shape him and define him, and that can then shape and define us. See, God is findable. God is discoverable. And he is discovered and found in his word. See, there are huge benefits. Huge benefits. Listening to and following God's word. I don't know the routines of your life. I don't know the disciplines of your life. But can I encourage you to take time on a regular basis in your life to spend time in God's word? To take some time every day, in the morning or afternoon or evening, and sitting down with the Bible and just having a conversation with God, letting God talk to you as you talk to him, listening to his word and interacting with his word. There are huge benefits in your life when you listen to, when you follow God's word. Huge, huge benefits. There's a last thing I would encourage you to think through. We should delight. We should learn to delight in God's word. There are things we delight in. Is anyone taping any of the football games today? Or planning on watching any football today? Am I the only one? There's one hand. I see that hand. I see the other hands. Yes. You know, we go home and we tape the football game or we watch and we say, I just hate doing this all the time. This is miserable. Anyone seen a movie lately? Going to the movie theater? Couple of hands? Going to the movie theater? Don't you hate going to the movie theater? Isn't it miserable? I mean, you have to sit there in that dark room watching this amazing movie, and you have to eat popcorn and drink some soda. It's terrible. And I really hate like going up to the Brick or the Marquee, and you have to like, you can't sit in a normal chair. You actually get to lounge in this chair. It's miserable. It's horrible. I don't know why they make these places so nice. It's miserable. It's unkind. It's wrong. Now, I know. No one's going to eat lunch today, correct? None of you are looking forward to lunch, are you? I mean, like as I say that, I mean, I hope your thinking isn't going to that savory thing you have planned to partake of. Because that would be just terrible. We shouldn't want to enjoy anything like lunch. No, there's all sorts of stuff in our lives that we rejoice in, that we take delight in. And we do those things because they're fun for us. We enjoy them. And the psalmist encourages us to delight in God's word, to discover that it's really good, and to discover that, like, sitting down and spending time in God's word is actually kind of better than, like, a really good movie or a really well-played football game or, like, now, I'm a carnivore. So, like, it's better than, like, a really good steak and, like, corn on the cob and some really good potatoes. Oh, and, like, a really nice apple or pumpkin pie to just kind of polish that off. Sorry to do that to you. But, like, God's word is, like, better than that stuff. It's really good. He encourages us to delight in the word. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I want to learn. I want to know. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. Woo! Don't you love it? Regulations. Oh! They're just guidelines for life. Guidelines for life. They keep us safe and they keep us from disaster. Don't you hate it when the tire manufacturer tells you how much air to put in your tire? It's miserable. Miserable. I want to drive around with 10 PSI. I want my tires flat to the ground. I want them to be rubbing on the rim, and I want them to pop. They will, because you're not following the regulations. You're not following the guidelines that are given by the manufacturer. Keep 32 to 35 PSI. Some of us have 50. Keep some pressure in air. It's going to help your gas mileage. It's going to help with your maneuvering. It's going to help your car run a whole lot better. Put the right pressure on your tires. But I don't want to listen to the regulations. I'm going to do my own thing. Guidelines, regulations are helpful to us. They actually help us to live life well. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. We need to learn to delight in God's word. We won't reap the benefits of God's word if we don't learn how to delight in God's word. If we don't learn to rejoice in God's word and allow it to really speak into our lives, we're not going to reap the benefits. So it's really important to learn to delight in God's word. God has given us his word. It's amazing. And all of Psalm 119 talks about how amazing and how great God's word is. It's just amazing. Even as we started to sing, the craziness of God to go beyond in reaching out to us. God has taken the time over the course of history to reveal himself to us through his word. God has taken the time over the course of history to help us to know the barriers and guidelines of life so that we can live well and successfully, and to live without regret, to live without remorse, but to live with joy and fulfillment. God has given us his word, not because he wants to keep a thumb on us, but because he wants us to know him, and because he wants us to flourish. He wants us to flourish. And when we spend time in his word, learning about him, we have the opportunity to do that. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us, and I thank you for the message of your word, and Father, just the power of your word. Father, it does amazingly wonderful things in our lives as we choose to listen and follow. Father, as we transition to closing up and receiving the offering and all those details of life, and as we prepare to head out, Father, build into us the character of Jesus. Build into us a hunger and a desire to know your word and to be shaped, be transformed by it. Father, I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.